Radio News.
If the city can't manage the budget as it is now in this current crisis, why would we give them more of our money to try and manage?
We'll hear more from Angelenos on this election day and how a South LA restaurant has encouraged people to visit the polls. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 8th, 2011. I'm Sarah Erickson. Today is election day in Los Angeles. The polls will close at 8 p.m. tonight, so you can still get out and vote. There are 10 separate ballot measures in L.A. Voters are also choosing city council members in some districts, school board representatives, and college community trustees. Thousands of Bell residents are expected to turn out to the polls today to bring some new blood to the Bell City Council. It's the first step in cleaning up the city's leadership since the corruption scandal surfaced last year. Voters will choose from 18 candidates running for just 5 council seats. They'll also vote on whether to recall the current city council members charged with misusing public funds. Residents of downtown Los Angeles flooded the Board of Police Commissioners meeting today to speak out against the Skid Row Safer Cities initiative. Mark Shore went down to the police administration building to get the story.
The SCI was formed in 2006 to help clean up the area in downtown Los Angeles known as Skid Row. The initiative added 50 officers in the area to write tickets for petty crimes such as jaywalking to discourage violent crimes. Members of the Los Angeles Community Action Network, or LA CAN, came in full force to the Board of Police Commissioners meeting to speak out against the initiative.
This type of policing systematically creates homelessness. It is racist, it's anti-poor.
Co-director of LA CAN, Becky Dennison, says that residents do not trust law enforcement.
The most common form of victimization reported by homeless people, more than assault or robbery, is police harassment. It should cause concern that people are being detained, searched, cuffed multiple times each year without even committing any crime, without resulting in arrest, just stopped for the sake of it.
The LAPD, however, stands behind the SCI. Central Division Captain Todd Chamberlain says these officers go above and beyond their duties.
These people are not assigned there. They make a choice to come and work in the SCI area, and that's an extremely difficult and unique adventure to go out into every single day, and yet they do it with a passion. They do it because they really got a calling in their hearts of hearts to be there supporting that community.
A few weeks ago, LA CAN submitted recommendations to the Board of Police Commissioners. The board decided to continue the conversation by establishing a committee of 2 commissioners, members of LA CAN, and an inspector general. Mark Shore, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors approved up to $50 million for the new Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital today. The hospital is supposed to be completed by 2013 and will be in Willowbrook. It will replace the now-closed county hospital, called the Martin Luther King Jr. Drew Medical Center. The money will provide startup funding. $10 million was released now so that the hospital can start hiring staff and buying medical supplies and equipment. It was a busy day outside the Norwalk County Courthouse, where former homeowners pushed to end foreclosures were just a few feet from a foreclosure auction. Whitney Blaine has more.
Send the bankers off to jail!
Stop the auction! Stop the sale!
Protesters lined Norwalk Boulevard today in an attempt to put a 2-year moratorium on foreclosures and stop home evictions. Rosie Martinez came out today because she doesn't think the banks are treating homeowners fairly.
The homeowner is not allowed to buy the home for $40,000, but these investors are here buying up the homes. And where are the homeowners? They're out in the street, you know, with family and children and all. And yet the banks have already gotten their money.
The sign holders also urged for a reduction in all state mortgages. But the protests didn't drown out the sounds of the bidding a few steps away.
Opening $391, $9.24.
Outside the Norwalk courthouse, men and women with earphones in and cell phones at the ready were handing out checks to purchase cheap homes. One of the bidders, Julian, said he isn't fazed by disgruntled picketers.
They're probably mad that they're getting their house taken away or they got a free lunch out of it.
Luis Garcia wasn't worried about a free lunch when I talked to him. He told me that he believes Obama should end foreclosures like Franklin Delano Roosevelt did during the Great Depression.
because people should be bailed out the way the bankers and the financial industry was bailed out. They were too big to fail, and we're too small to fail. We should be treated equally.
According to the Stop Foreclosures and Evictions California Facebook group, the group has already protested in Oakland and plan to visit other California cities in the future. Whitney Blaine, Annenberg Radio News.
Redondo Beach residents were alarmed to find a marina full of dead fish this morning. Most of the fish were sardines, creating a silver lining of carcasses so that boatgoers couldn't even see the water. Scientists are initially saying the fish died from extremely low oxygen levels in the water. However, it could be a couple of days before they know the exact cause. It seems the wind has blown away our weather for the week. Tonight will be clear with temperatures in the 40s. Tomorrow, sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. And to keep you in the spring break mood, clear and sunny skies continue into Thursday with pleasant temperatures staying in the mid-70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll talk with Professor Stacy Smith about women's rights to celebrate International Women's Day. The polls are still open and will close at 8 p.m. tonight. This year's ballot is packed with city amendments. Our reporters, Stephanie Guzman and Emily Frost, have quick descriptions of the measures on the ballot.
There are 10 measures on the ballot today, and here's the condensed rundown.
Measure O would tax oil extracted within the city at $1.44 a barrel. Supporters say it will generate approximately $4 million.
Opponents say businesses won't like the new tax and will move elsewhere. Proposition M is for medical marijuana. It would tax marijuana sold at dispensaries and could help add revenue to a suffering budget.
But the city attorney says there could be legal problems to taxing a substance that isn't federally legal. Measure G would reduce pensions for new hires to the fire and police department. The police union actually likes this plan.
But it won't affect their current members' pensions. Measure L is for libraries. It would increase revenue for our city libraries, which have been struggling with slashed budgets.
But those against it say it could take money away from other city services because the money would be earmarked for only the libraries.
Measure H would block city contractors from giving more than $100,000 in campaign contributions. There are two amendments that deal with the DWP. One would create a ratepayer advocate, a person people could speak to about their rates. The other is an amendment requiring the DWP to give any surplus funds back to the city.
And here's a measure you can vote on that won't change anything. There's a rule in the city charter that limits campaign contributions, but we don't even follow that rule because the Supreme Court ruled that there can be no limits. Measure N would officially amend the city charter to comply with that ruling.
And finally, charter amendments LAP and LAQ. Charter Amendment P would create an emergency reserve within the existing city reserves.
And Charter Amendment Q would limit the amount of applicants tested for civil servant jobs.
For more information on these measures, who's for and against them, check out smartvoter.org.
This is Stephanie Guzman
and Emily Frost
reporting for Annenberg Radio News.
Restaurant owners at the California Float Cafe in Leimert Park found a way to entice people to vote. Our reporter Whitney Blaine talked with cafe employee Tramiel Barnes about what works and why he's doing it.
The 50 cent breakfast we're doing is we're doing it for Election Day. It's Election Day special. Every person that comes in and shows their ballot, we give them breakfast, grits, eggs, and sausage for 50 cents. People that vote, I take great pride in them and myself for voting every election. And I think it's a positive thing to do. And so I just want to show some love to people that are voting. It was a good day today so far, but we'd like to have a lot more people come in. And to support, voting and just enjoy the good food we have here at the restaurant.
Jasmine Kanick was at the cafe and spoke about her hopes for District 8 and Los Angeles.
The main thing in the community right now is jobs and a place to live. Everything else comes behind that. But at the same time, we're very cognizant of these measures, in particular, you know, more oversight over the DWP. The DWP has risen its rates over the past year, I think, 3 times. So I know a lot of people are going out in support of Measures I and J, if for nothing else, to bring more oversight to the DWP. But I think, again, the collective is really just thinking about the future of our city, especially right here. They want to put a line down Crenshaw Boulevard. A lot of us aren't with that, you know. The services that this part of the district or this part of the area of Los Angeles gets versus the other 14 districts, and 15 council districts, we're in the 8th district, you know, it's very important. Is our streets going to be clean? Are our streets going to be paved? Are we going to get rid of the potholes? So we're looking at candidates who are going to come in and who are going to do that.
You can still get a 50-cent meal at the California Float Cafe at 4326 Crenshaw Boulevard until 9 o'clock tonight. Family and friends of a young farm worker who died while working in a vineyard in 2008 gathered today in Los Angeles. As Tanner Keith reports, they are calling for justice and prison time for those they believe were responsible for her death.
This is my prayer for those.
That is the sound of family and friends banding together in remembrance of Maria Isabel Vasquez Jimenez. The 17-year-old farmer died in May 2008 from heat stroke after working in the blazing sun for 9 hours. She was not given water or a break in the shade while working at a vineyard in San Joaquin County. Patty Aviles of United Farm Workers describes her last day.
Supervisors took no action, not calling the ambulance, not calling an emergency vehicle, instead putting her in the back of a sweltering van.
Jimenez.
This is my prayer for those.
That is the sound of family and friends
at the time.
She was taken to the hospital 2 hours later with a body temperature of 108 degrees. But at that point, it was too late. She died 2 days later. Her death has sparked a campaign for justice.
Farm workers must be empowered to organize and have a voice in the fight for their rights.
The owner and safety coordinator for Merced Farm Labor, the company that hired Jimenez, are facing charges of involuntary manslaughter. Merced Farm Labor has said in the past that Jimenez wasn't doing strenuous work on the day she died and that her fiancé refused the company's offer to call a doctor. The United Farm Workers are opposing a plea bargain for the defendants because it would let them off with probation, community service, and fines.
And we appeal to the judge to overturn this settlement and oppose the 4-year sentence, which is the minimum that people deserve.
The UFW has held a number of protests since Jimenez died. In one, they carried 2 wooden coffins for 50 miles. At today's vigil, Rabbi Stephen Jacobs prayed that the protest would help shed light on the inhumane treatment of farm workers.
And we will not be silent.
The defendants will receive their sentencing tomorrow. Tanner Keith, Annenberg Radio News.
Sorry for the technical difficulties. Today, countries across the globe are celebrating the 100th International Women's Day. To better understand women's achievement in society, I spoke with communication scholar and USC professor Stacey Smith about her research on women working in film and television. What is the status of women in society today in television and film?
If we look back to the Payne Fund studies back in the 1930s, a little study was done looking at 40 films and the percentage of women female characters, in those films for that study. And if I remember correctly, not more than 30% of the speaking characters from the 1930s were female. So that's really interesting if we just punctuate that as a historical statistic to think about present day. Well, let's fast forward. We've done several studies looking at gender and film. The first one we did was looking at 101 G-rated films, and we found that for every one female character, I believe the point statistic was there was 2.57 male-speaking characters. And those were films, the most popular films that were rated G from 1990 to 2006.
Wow, so significant imbalance there.
Very much an imbalance, and it calculates to about 27-28%, which is not different than the Pain Fund studies. It is not different from the other published books.
So in almost 70-80 years, we haven't changed.
Right. Well, thinking about that 100-year mark, where have females come in those last in the last century? So that was one study. We then did another study looking at females in popular films from 1990 to 2006, and sure enough, we found that across 400 films, Sarah, there was 2.71 males to every one female. So
wow.
Again, that 27-28% of all speaking characters were female.
Now, it's fascinating to me that nothing really seems to have changed. That seems to be the overall message.
Right.
But a lot of people argue that women have much more prominence in society. You know, Kathryn Bigelow last year won her Oscar for Best Director, and it was the first time that a female won. Do you see any areas that have improved where women are keeping fairly strong, either in front of the camera or behind the scenes? And if not, where do you think the most improvement could come from?
I think that the data are always important, and grounding answers and evidence is really important. And I know from our own work, we've started to look at women behind the camera, and we find that for every 5 directors, writers, and producers that are male, there's only 1 female director, writer, or producer. The ratio behind the scenes is far more problematic and egregious than what we see on screen. But I think that's where the greatest hope lies, because we've been looking at the relationship between the two, meaning if you have a female writer, director, producer, does that change the number of females that you see on screen? And in a study we just released, we found that if you had a female director, the percentage of female characters on screen jumps significantly. I think if you really want to talk about change and diversifying on screen and behind the camera, the more women in those gatekeeping positions, whether it's running a studio, whether it's in the green lighting position at a company, whether it's writer, director, producer, the more women that fill those ranks, the more likely we'll see diversity on screen.
That was USC communication professor Stacy Smith. The United States Census Bureau released numbers for California today. The state's population grew by 10%. In the last census in 2000, the state's population increased by 13%. The 2011 census shows the Hispanic population in California grew by 27.8%. Of the non-Hispanic population, Asian residents grew the most by 31.5%. The newest restrictions on smoking are now in place in Los Angeles. As of today, it's illegal to smoke outdoors if you're near restaurants. Lighting up within 10 feet of an outdoor dining patio or within 40 feet of a mobile food vendor can result in a fine of up to $500. Business owners that allow smoking in restricted areas can also be fined.
Go to music.
Now we check in with Marcus to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hi, this is Marcus Saldivar with ATVN. Coming up on our live newscast, we are continuing the coverage of the city elections, find out who's running, and we have people at the polls to find out who they're planning to vote with. And we also talked to a friend of the San Diego student studying abroad in Madrid, find out what he has to say and what other USC students have to say, coming up on Trojan Vision.
Great. Thank you so much for that. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Carl Nickenegg, Chris Foy is our producer, Jessica Flores is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Sarah Erickson.